Penguin Audio presents Rutherford Park by Elizabeth Cook. Read by Elizabeth Sastra. Chapter 1. Snow had fallen in the night, and now the great house, standing at the head of the valley, seemed like a 500-year-old ship sailing in a white ocean. Around it spread the parkland, the woods, terraces and gardens. Beyond it and high above was the massive slope of the woodlands and the moor. To the south and the east, the river described a wide loop. To the west, the 9-acre lake was a grey mirror fringed with ice. Although it was early, Rutherford was not asleep. It was never truly asleep. For everywhere, in that white landscape, there was hard labour to keep the estate functioning. Power and influence had raised Rutherford. Power and influence trailed in its wake. Just as the late Victorian additions to the house spread outwards from the Tudor Hall, where the first brick had been laid in 1530, so Rutherford spread outwards from the house itself, radiating through the tenant farms, the villages, the long sweep of the valley down towards York, touching and altering everything in its path, commanding lives, changing landscapes. On the first floor now, above the terrace, a light was shining, and the heavy curtains of the largest room in the west wing were drawn back. It was barely 7, but Octavia Cavendish had been awake for some time. She sat, swathed in the Poiret dressing gown, full-length black and white satin, lined in sable, that William had bought her in London 18 months ago. A fire glowed in the limestone-framed fireplace. Octavia's morning tea was laid to one side. Around her fussed Amelie, her maid, laying out the first changes of clothes of the day. 4 alternatives. The lavender, perhaps, for luncheon, or the morning dress of grey velvet, a tea gown for the afternoon, and the elaborate white tulle with green appliqué for the evening. Past the gowns, on the dressing table, Amelie had already spread out the jewels that had once belonged to Octavia's husband's mother, heavyweight emeralds set in gold, and the opals, which she particularly loathed. In a room awash with silks and gauzes, Octavia looked and felt like some overblown rose wilting before the fire. The lavender, she decided eventually. Amelie dipped her head in agreement, bundled up the grey velvet over her arm, and retreated to the dressing room. Octavia got up and looked out at the snow. It was more than an hour since she had first noticed the great beech tree lying on its side at the top of the drive, and she gazed at it now, watching the men gathering below the curved steps, monochrome silhouettes against the branches and the burned-out colour of last year's leaves. She had an overwhelming feeling that she might go outside. She might go and listen to their conversations. She might run in the snow as the children used to. She remembered running across this perfect lawn, this perfect terrace, when she had first come here with William, a bride of 19, alive with a happiness that had been rapidly extinguished, brimming with an enthusiasm that was not required. She remembered passing the North Lodge in the old landau on the very first day, the large carriage dipping and rolling as it turned the corner of the drive, and Rutherford had come into view, with its towers, mullioned windows, and barley twist chimneys looking so ravishingly pretty in the afternoon sunshine. Octavia unconsciously straightened her shoulders. Of course, it was impossible to go outside. One would hardly be expected to, unless there were a shooting party or one was dressed to walk, as she sometimes did in the spring or summer. Besides which, it would not be seemly for the wife of the 8th Earl to run, and she certainly could not go to listen to the talk among the servants. Still, it was unreal. The huge tree
Sample complete. Ready to continue?